Okay, let's begin with our lesson. Let me ask you a question to start with. What is precious to you? What in your life have you acquired or obtained in all of your years that would be precious? If I ask you to make me a list, your precious list, what would be on your precious list? Would it maybe be your children or your parents? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Those things are very, very special and precious. How about health? Is health precious? How about health? Maybe it's something that you've worked diligently for years to obtain, a home, a wealth, and you consider that precious. But do you know what the Apostle Peter said is the precious thing? Let me read you the verse. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let me read it to you in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but," here's what you were redeemed with, "but with the precious blood of Christ." Would you repeat that back to me? The precious blood of Christ. One more time. The precious blood of Christ. And then he goes on to say, "as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, was the precious blood of Christ on your precious list? Probably not. And this is what I want to talk about today. You see, we have distanced ourselves from an understanding of the preciousness of the blood of Christ Jesus. And so what I want to talk to us today is trying to get a grasp on that. You see, even in scriptures, if we use some particular scriptures and looked at phrases that even the Bible says, they seem foreign to us. For example, they're going to show you one right now. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. And what it's talking about there is the blood of Christ. And what it says there is that blood draws us nigh. Blood draws us nigh. It brings you're drawn near by the blood of Christ. Now, does blood draw you or does it repel you? When you see blood, what does it do to you? Does it kind of say, you say, ooh, I don't want to look at it, I don't want it on me. If I get it on me, I want to wash it off as quickly as I can. You see, but the Bible says is that blood draws us near. Another verse in the Bible that's interesting is in Revelation. They'll put that one up for you, Revelation chapter 1. It says this, that we are washed from our sin by His own blood. We don't see blood as a cleansing agent, do we? Don't we mostly see blood as a staining agent? If you get it on your clothes, it stains your clothes, it messes your clothes up. It draws us near, and it washes us. How do you feel about blood? We, in our society, have kind of lost the importance of understanding the blood of Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is this, is that blood is the washing agent of life. Let me say that one more time. Blood is the washing agent of life. I want to do you a little illustration for you. My daughter was here last week at church with us, and she says, "Daddy, you don't know who you are. Sometimes you wear a tie, sometimes you don't wear a tie. Do you know what you want to wear?" And I said, "I wear whatever I want to wear. It's my church. As long as people keep coming, I don't care. I'll wear whatever." Here's a little illustration that I want to show you. This is just a common, normal blood pressure testing kit. I'm going to get it on here and hopefully get me pumped up quickly. I'm going to pump it all up. My desire here is not to check my blood pressure. My desire here is to cut off circulation in my arm and forearm and hand. And I'm pumping it up here at about 300 mm. And just going to let that work for a few minutes. And initially, there is no discomfort. Initially, I can feel some tightness right here where the band is. But I can use my hand just like I can my other hand that doesn't have circulation cut off. And initially, I'm going on pretty well. But after a little while, there begins to be a little discomfort. I can feel that the circulation isn't working as it should work. And I can tell that there's starting to get a little discomfort and little needles are kind of beginning to go down into my hand. You can see there's already a discoloration. My right hand has got circulation and it's colorful and this one's getting pale. In just a few minutes, it'll turn gray. My fingertips will turn gray and my hands will turn gray. And it's starting to hurt now. Starting to give me a little pain. And the longer I leave it on there, the worse this is going to get. And if I leave it on there too long, what's going to happen to my hand and my forearm? I'll lose it. It'll die. Because it has to have that circulation to really live. To really live. You see, our relationship with Christ is that way. when we are out of circulation with Him, when He's cut off from our lives, initially, we can kind of go through life and do some things as we normally could. But as we progress, things start getting tense and tight. We feel like life's a bunch of needles. The color of life changes. It's not as colorful as we would like for it to be. Pain hurts and discomforts take over. And all of a sudden, all this pain is what you're only thinking about. I'm really not thinking about my right hand now. I'm starting to really think a lot about my left hand. It's cold. There's no circulation in it. And so when we're talking about the blood of Christ, we first of all see the natural and then the spiritual. And this is what the Bible's talking about to us as a cleansing agent. Now, what's happening in here is there's no cleansing of the blood happening. And I'm going to explain that to you in just a second. But you can see now that my fingertips are graying and my palm of my hand is beginning to gray and the color is gone. And the longer I leave it, the worse it's going to get. But now when I release that and I allow that rush to go in there, that feels so good. It's nearly worth the pain to feel the goodness. You know, it's nearly worth that discomfort just to get to feel that rush as that blood went into my arm and began to do what it does. And immediately, the color's back. Immediately, I can use it just like I could the other one. It had gotten to where I couldn't open it and close it like I could this one. Immediately, it warms up. Immediately, it's able to do what it's designed to do. Now, what happened? What actually happened is this, is that when I cut it off, when I cut the circulation off in my arm, the muscles continued to work and the cells continued to work, and they were producing toxins that are called metabolites. And these metabolites cause poisons, cause things to happen in here. And the problem that I was having really wasn't because of the blood not circulating. In essence, it was. But the real problem was is that these toxins were building up in there. And these toxins, though my blood wasn't circulating, the cells continued to work and the muscles continued to work. And normally that's completely immediately washed by the blood, but it wasn't being washed. So it causes this discoloration. It causes this cooling. It causes this hurting and this pain. But as soon as I release that blood and let that blood rush in there, all of a sudden it's cleansed. All those toxins are washed. And you see, when we come to Jesus Christ, it's that way, is it not? When we come to Jesus Christ, there's a rush. How many of you remember when you first received Jesus, there was a rush. There was an exhilaration in your life. All of a sudden, whoa, you may have cried, you may have laughed, but there was some sort of an exhilaration that you got. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? And that's what happened. You see, there was this rush that happened. You didn't want to think the same things. You didn't want to talk the same way. You didn't even want to drink the same stuff, right? And all of a sudden, there was this change that happened because the blood of Jesus Christ flushed and it rushed into your spirit, your soul, and your body. It comes into your mind and it washes out those metabolites of sin. It washes in, comes in your spirit and it cleanses your spirit and it washes all the filth and defilement of the world from your spirit and from your soul. And it even does a healing in your body. You know, this is what happens to us when we receive Jesus Christ. There is a rush. Now, what this is redemption. You're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Redemption is this simple. It's redemption is God taking all the metabolites of your life, all the bad things, all the negative things. Romans 8:28 says this, that we know that all things work together for good for those that love God and for those that are called according to His purposes. What this is redemption. All those old things, all those bad things. God, and only God can do this through the blood of Jesus Christ. God and only God will take those things, work all of those things, wash those things, and somehow in His own power, in His own way, cause all those things to come out good for you. That's what redemption is. That's what the blood of Christ is for us. Amen. Amen. Give Him a shout. You see, that's what it's about. That's what redemption does. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. If not, you're going to have those metabolites all your life. All that stuff stuck with you all your life. And it will eventually bring you death. Now maybe you've experienced what I've just said. But somewhere along your walk with the Lord, you cut off circulation. You stopped going to church. You stop reading, you stop praying, you stop functioning with the body of Christ, and you cut off circulation. Initially, you could work fine. Initially, the color was okay. Initially, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, everything was okay. But then metabolites start building up. All of a sudden, life's not fun anymore. Life's a bed of needles. All of a sudden, pain hurts. Things don't go well. The color of life isn't right. Life hurts. But you see, what I'm trying to tell you today is see if you will release the thing that's stopping the circulation and allow the blood of Jesus Christ to come back into that life, it will immediately redeem you, immediately cleanse you again, and give you the best life you can ever possibly have. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood does wash, does it not? The blood does cleanse. And this is what I want us to see today, that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us, cleanses us from those metabolites, those sins, those things that cause us hurt and pain and discoloration of life, and brings us into a place where everything functions as it should. The blood does cleanse. Is it precious to you? Is it precious to you? Blood of Jesus Christ, Peter says, is precious. Previous generations understood the blood far better than we do. My generation is probably the first generation that is a bloodless generation. Now, let me kind of explain this to you. My not-so-distant ancestors, my dad and my grandparents, if they wanted to have a fresh chicken supper, they just couldn't go to the freezer and get one. You see, the refrigeration system that we so enjoy today was not invented until the 20s, 1920s. And then it even took time by Frigidaire, as they invented, and we call it the refrigerator. But it took time, especially in rural areas, to even get electricity there. And there was no refrigeration. The only way to preserve meat so that it was edible was to salt it down. Salt was expensive. So there was no real way. So what they had to do was on a daily basis or weekly basis, if they wanted fresh meat, is they had to slaughter the fowl, or the beef, or the hog, or the fish. And they saw the blood. I remember when I was a child that we lived on a farm and we had chickens and all those hogs and cows and all that stuff. Well, Daddy, on Saturdays, we would load up in our truck, and me and Daddy and my sister would go to different communities around town, driving around town selling chickens. People would buy chickens. They would buy eggs. And they would take those chickens for a fresh chicken meal. Now, that's not that long ago. And that was a generation previous to me. And they were able to, on a continual basis, connect the slaughter and the blood with the food, the meal, and the life. You see, what that chicken does, or that beef does, or that fish does, or that hog does, is it gives its blood, it gives its life, so that you and I can eat and live. This is what I'm trying to relay to us. See, that's what the blood of Jesus did. The blood of Jesus Christ died. The blood, Jesus died, and he gave his blood at that slaughter at the altar of the cross so that you and I can live, so that the metabolites of sin can be cleansed from us, so that we can function and have a great life. He says, I come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. See, his desire is to make sure that we have the best life possible. Do you appreciate the blood? Is it precious, though, to you? I know you appreciate the churchese language, you know, and the singing about it, but do you really appreciate it? Does it draw you when you think about the blood of Christ? Is it something that you want to understand and something you want to appreciate? When it comes to Easter, this is interesting. The importance of Christ's blood is totally or at least greatly obscured in Easter egg hunts and chocolate bunnies. We spend a lot of time, money, effort finding the best Easter egg hunt to go to, buying and fixing up the best basket we can fix up for our children. And we really want them to enjoy that. And they can tell you a whole lot more about the Easter bunny than they can about the blood of Jesus Christ. Hello? We spend all that time in that dimension. But have we talked to our children about the precious blood of Jesus Christ? You talk about what is precious to you. You can't help it. It's the way we're designed. See, our whole belief system in Jesus Christ, whether you're of Judaism or whether you're of Christianity, is all in blood. If you come to God, you got to go through blood. He made it that way. That's the way it works. It's through the blood. Without the blood of Christ, there is no abundant life. Without the blood of Christ, there is no salvation. Without the blood of Christ, there is no heaven for you to go to when you die. Is the blood precious? Amen. Man, is it precious to you? When Mel Gibson's movie came out, The Passion of the Christ, many parents objected to it because it was too violent, too graphic, too bloody. And so there was this particular author whose name is Riccardo Zucconi, who is in Italy, and what he said is that he was not going to allow his son to go to it because it was too bloody. It was too graphic. It was too violent. But he says, I will let him go see another movie that's called The Gospel According to Matthew. And here's what he said, and this is a quote about him from him about The Gospel According to Matthew. He says this, that film is very deep, and you don't see a drop of blood. I'm sorry, but you cannot sanitize the cross from the blood. I'm sorry. You cannot sanitize your salvation from the blood. I'm sorry. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go through the blood. We want to sanitize it. We want it to be pretty. We want it to look nice. Well, if God intended it to be pretty and nice, He would not have put Jesus on that cross and allowed that cross to be that bloody. There's a purpose for the blood. There was a purpose for it being that graphic, being that cruel. We had to understand that He took the metabolites of our lives, the sins of our lives, and through that blood, He gave us salvation. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says this, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I want to tell you a true story. A doctor explained to a little boy whose name was Johnny, it really was, and he had a sister named Mary, that Mary was very ill and that unless Mary had a transfusion, that she was going to die. Interestingly, the disease in which Mary was going to die from, Johnny had just overcome it 2 years prior. The doctor explained to Johnny, said, Johnny, we need you to be a donor. We need you to give blood for Mary. Would you do it? Initially, Johnny didn't give a response, and they watched him, and they didn't understand his hesitancy. And a tear came out of his eye, and his lip came out and quivered. And he finally said, for my sister, I'll do it. Well, they took him into the room and began the transfusion. Johnny laid there, and they injected the needle. And Johnny looked at Mary and smiled and watched his blood leave his body out of that tube, being prepared to go to Mary's body. After the ordeal was nearly over, Johnny looks at the doctor and says, Doctor, when do I die? It was only then they realized that Johnny was associating his giving blood for Mary that he would die. Johnny didn't die. You know how the transfusion works. Your body makes more blood. But Jesus died so that you and I can have a transfusion. If you will, a transformation. That the disease of life, the disease of sin, the things that hurt us and want to destroy us and desire to kill us can be washed away. Can be cleansed from our lives. In a moment, Johnny made that decision that he would die for his sister. In a moment, Jesus decided that he would die for you and I. And that by his blood, we would overcome the disease of sin and sickness. 1949, a man came home from World War II, only to find that his grandmother was gravely ill and in the hospital. He went to the hospital and there was the family. His grandmother was dying. She had kidney problems. And the doctor told them all that unless she had a transfusion, soon she would die that night. The problem with this was that she had a rare blood. It was an AB negative. And of course, back then, they didn't have the blood banks like they have now. And it was in time of war. So the blood had been, of course, sent to the soldiers fighting in the fields. And there was no blood, and the hospital called every donor that they possibly could who was listed as AB negative, and they could find no one to donate the blood. So the man's father, who was the woman that was ill's son, decided, Mom's going to die tonight. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to change clothes. I'm going to come back and spend the last hours with my mother and be here when she dies. He left the hospital. He got in his automobile and he drove down the road. There he saw on the side of the road hitchhiking a soldier home from war, hitchhiking in his uniform. He initially was not going to stop, but he decided that he would. He said, well, I will. He just felt compelled to stop and pick this hitchhiker up. He got in, and there was just a little said. He really didn't want to talk. He was grieving. His mother was dying, and he didn't want to spend any time, you know, just conversing. It was a sad time, a grieving time, and he was pretty tore up. The soldiers noticed this and said to him, I noticed that you're very, very upset about something. Would you want to talk to me about it? Initially, he didn't, but finally he did. He began to tell him the situation, that his mother was gravely ill, and that unless she got a blood transfusion that night, she would die that night. And that the problem was, it was AB negative, and they couldn't find a donor, and nobody, the hospital had called everyone they could, and there was just no blood. About that time, he said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to change clothes. I'm going to go back and be with my mother when she dies. He looks over, and the soldier has his dog tags out in his hand, showing him blood type, AB negative. He says, if you'll take me back, I'll give my blood. They did. They went back. He gave his blood, and the woman lived 47 more years. 47 more years. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, see, is the Lord wants you to have a long, good life. He wants to come in with his transfusion. He wants to wash away any kind of thing that is hindering you. I don't care how dark it is in your life. I don't care if you feel like these are your last hours. I don't care. I'm telling you that the blood of Jesus Christ redeems you. It takes whatever that you're going through, somehow washes it and cleanses it, and brings it into something that is life, and that more abundantly. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care if it's mental. I don't care what you're suffering or what you're going through. The blood of Jesus Christ washes you from all of that stuff. Amen? Right. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. Verses 53 through 54 says this. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless, would you say unless? Unless. What he's saying here is there is no other way. This is an unless. There's no other way you're going to have, what he's saying here is life, unless. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What I want to tell you while that scripture is up there is life is more than breathing air. A lot of people breathe air, but they never have life. Jesus wants to give you life. And it just doesn't end now. If I were to ask you right now, is there something after this? When I stop breathing, when my heart stops beating, is there something else out there? Just about everybody here would say, yes. You know it because God put that in you to know that, so that you can make the decision. And Jesus goes on to say, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, gets this transfusion, has eternal life. Not just life now. This is great now. Jesus wants it to be abundant for you now. He wants you to have precious things now. But what he really thinking about is the eternalness of life. That by his blood we come into eternal life. And he connects that with the next statement. He says, and I will raise him up the last day. There is a resurrection for those who receive his blood. On January the 27th of 2005, there was a Los Angeles Metrolink train wreck. There was 11 people that were killed in this horrible train wreck, and many, many more were injured. And as the rescuers went through the process of finding the people and that were trapped and buried under all the debris and hoping to find life, they came across this one man who was crushed under a seat. The seat was right over his face, and he was up under the seat, trapped and crushed. But before he had died, what he had done was write a letter, write a message. The amazing thing is he wrote it with his blood. He wrote this. I love. He made hearts. I love my kind of graphic. I love my kids. And you have one more sentence. And that sentence says, I love Leslie. Leslie was his wife. And they said that as he got to the end of that sentence, that he ran out of blood. With his last drop of blood, he said, I love you. With his last bit of blood, he was thinking about those that he loved. Jesus on his cross, with his last drop of blood, says, I love you. With his last bit of blood, he writes you a message. He says, in my blood, this is the new covenant. It's a message for you of hope. It's a message for you that you can be cleansed and washed and drawn near to God. As he gave his last bit of blood, he says, it is finished. I have made a way for people to come to God, to come to God. Where are you? Where are you today? I'm going to tell you one more story and then we'll pray. See, the precious blood of Jesus must be on you. It must be a part of your life. There is no other way. It's unless. We know there's something else. Not long ago, I did a message on hell and I told you how people that had died legitimately... They had the machines on them and these people died, but they came back to life and that they are something else out there. The blood must be on you. A man tells a story about a car crash that he was involved in. He was 5 years old. He's now 50 or 60. So the time of the car crash when he was 5 years old would have been before the time of seat belts and airbags. At that time, when I grew up and when I raised my children, actually, we didn't have to have the children in a car seat, their own car seat. They could sit in the front with us and sit in our laps, stand up in the front seat or whatever. And this is what this child was doing. He was sitting in his mother's lap. His dad was driving, and he was sitting in his mother's lap. And they were driving down a two-lane highway, and they looked ahead, and a car coming very fast across the center line was coming right at them. The drunk driver had a head-on collision. When they dug them all out of the wreckage, the little boy was still alive, but he was covered with blood from head to toe. And he remembered that, but it wasn't his blood. It was his mother's blood. Instinctively, as she saw the crash inevitable, she grabbed her little baby and she pulled him close to her. And she bent her back so that when the collision happened, it was her body that slammed into the dash. It was her head that crashed through the windshield. And it was her blood and not his blood on him. What I'm trying to relay to you today, what I'm trying to tell you today, is this is what Jesus has done for each of us. He loves us. He wants the best life for you. In his blood, there is the ability to wash the negative things from our life and take us into the best life possible. He wants to hold you and protect you and let his crash on that cross be the only crash you have to have. His blood on you, not your blood. His blood will take you into an abundant life and redeem you. The blood of Christ is not bizarre. It's not something that should repel us. It's something that we should want to understand and want to draw near to. The blood of Christ washes us from the metabolites of life, the things that hurt us, needle us, cause us to not function as we should. It's the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ wants to come and give us a transfusion where our spirit and our soul and our bodies are washed by a transfusion that gives us a transformation. It changes us. If you're a Christ follower, your life has changed since you come to know Jesus. You don't even think the same way. You don't talk the same way. You don't do the same things. That's what the power of the blood is, and that's redemption. The blood of Jesus Christ lets us love people. Gives us an ability and an opportunity to give them a transformation. Blood of Jesus Christ, if you allow Him to hold you and cover you and pull you close to Him, let Him take the impact, His blood will be all over you. Just as that mother's blood was on that little boy. It's all about the blood. It is the blood that redeems us. Where are you concerning the blood? How's the circulation going in your life? Would you stand with me and bow your heads? Father, I thank you that in 1978, I let Jesus hold me and let Him take the crash. I received the transfusion that brought a transformation. It changed my life and so many more. I thank you. The blood's not bizarre to me. The blood is so necessary. It touches every cell in my being, my spirit, my soul, my body. You love me. You really love me. Heads bowed. Where are you? Maybe your life is kind of like that illustration that I used with the blood pressure test, the circulation's cut off. You came a time when you knew Jesus and you were close to Him. But you got cut off. The circulation's cut off. And you went a little while and everything was fine, but all of a sudden you found out life was sticky. Life hurt. You got bitter. Things didn't work right. Discoloration in life. I want to ask you today if you'll release the pressure and allow the circulation to take off again and to cleanse all those things that are causing you problems, to be washed from you, and let God, in His way, the only person who can do it is Him, redeem it and make it come out good. If that's you, why don't you slip your hand up and say, "Yep, preacher, I got away, but I want His circulation in my life." I see your hand. Any others? Any others? I see. Any others? I see. What I want you to do is I want you to slip out to the ends of the aisles right now. Don't even think about it. Just go to the ends of the aisle and come right down here. I want you to pray. I want you just to ask the Lord to help you. Just ask the Lord to help you. Come on. Come on. Don't be ashamed of the Lord.